Hi, everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
And welcome back to the greatest fantasy football podcast you've ever listened to. My name is Ja, and we are back and at it with the weekly fantasy football sleeper segment. So if you guys aren't familiar, this is a segment that I run pretty much every week. We missed it last week due to the holiday. Apologies about that. But we are back at it, discussing players that are owned in less than 50% of fantasy football leagues and may be available for you on Sunday morning as you prep your lineups and as you maybe throw a Hail Mary in your lineup if you find yourself down or if you find yourself in a very tough matchup against a strong opponent. So my goal today is to go ahead and describe a couple of players at a few different positions that might be able to help you out. Towards the end of today's show, I will also discuss players that might be droppable and might be clogging up space on your roster. It's week 14, we're a week before the playoffs, so hopefully you don't got players that are still on your lineup that you don't like or that aren't serving you justice. So what I want to do is I want to start off with a guy who I was pretty high on over the summer. He goes by the name of Will Levis, quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis is in a really interesting matchup this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who currently are allowing the most passing yards and the most passing touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. I repeat, the Jaguars are allowing the most passing yards and the most passing touchdowns in fantasy football. Will Levis has a favorable matchup. If you don't know anything about the Titans, they probably haven't gotten the most TV time wherever you are. The Titans run a West Coast offense. We've described that a million times. The West Coast offense emphasizes short, quick passes to spread out that defense and create running lanes. So this scheme really allows quarterbacks like Will Levis to get rid of the ball quickly, which ideally would reduce sacks and hits, which he has fell victim to. A lot of his talent package is he has a very strong arm. He has maybe one of the strongest arms in the league, but he gets hit a lot. He makes a lot of bad decisions, and that's where he struggled within the West Coast offense. Maybe it's just because he's young. Maybe it's just because he hasn't gotten a lot of time on the field, but he's not processing the field as quickly as, you know, Brian Callahan, the coach for the Titans, would probably like to see. And it tends to lead towards turnovers, sacks, and so forth. So Will Levis has shown some improvement these last few weeks. He's averaging 240 passing yards and 7 touchdowns over the last 4 games. So in a matchup against the Jaguars, who are vulnerable, they're one of the worst pass defenses in the league, I think Will Levis should be a startable player for you at quarterback if you are in a pinch. Right? We know Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is... he's a touchdown merchant. He catches touchdowns every week. I don't want to jinx it, but I don't think that trend's gonna come to a halt anytime soon. And I believe that Will Levis will be a decent starting quarterback option for you this week if you need help at the quarterback position. All right, and the next guy I want to talk about is a wide receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders. We're talking about Trey Tucker. Trey Tucker is the deep threat for Aiden O'Connell and the Las Vegas Raiders offense. So similar to the Titans, the Raiders also run a West Coast offense, short, quick, easy throws. And every West Coast offense, there's a guy who goes over the top and capitalizes on those deep routes. That's kind of what Trey Tucker does. Last week, he only had one catch, and the one catch went for 69 yards and a touchdown. So that should kind of give you some evidence as to how explosive he is. But yeah, once again, I mean, the game this Sunday is the Raiders versus the Buccaneers. Something about Trey Tucker is that he has led the Raiders in snaps over the last seven games. Trey Tucker is averaging 4.5 targets per game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are pretty weak against the pass. Tucker has a good opportunity to make some big plays happen. Some history on Trey Tucker. He's a second-year wide receiver. He was brought into the regime last season. He has great chemistry with Aiden O'Connell. Maybe wasn't so strong with Gardner Minshew, but with Aiden, it's kind of picking up. And Aiden's not afraid to throw the ball deep. That's one thing about him that I do like, and I think that'll benefit him this week. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rank 31st in the league in yards allowed per game. So the defense struggles to contain offenses. The opposing offense against the Buccaneers defense typically does pretty well. The Buccaneers are 28th in the NFL in points allowed, meaning they give up a lot of points. And with, you know, kind of the departure of Shaq Barrett, one of their linebackers, the Bucs have kind of struggled to generate a consistent pass rush. They have I want to say the Buccaneers are 22nd in the NFL in pass rush win rate. So they don't get home as often as you would like to, or as often as they have in the past. We know that Lovie Smith runs a pretty aggressive defense. Now, with the Buccaneers lacking dominant edge rushers, you know, they're relying on some old school vets like Randy Gregory, Chris Broswell. Listen, this is a game where the Buccaneers, I think, will win the game, but I do think the Raiders will keep it competitive. The Raiders are one of those teams that's bad, but they'll stay in the game and they'll keep it interesting. They'll lose. They'll find a way to, mess it up at the end, but they'll keep it interesting. And I do think that Trey Tucker this week against the Buccaneers defense, hey, man, I think he has a good opportunity to go ahead and make a few plays happen. They might have to play catch up with Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield and those guys on the other side. So I think this all leans in Trey Tucker's favor. And I believe that this week he puts up minimum 3 to 4 catches. Knowing him, he gets really great ADOT. He gets a really great average depth of target, meaning the passes he catches are deeper passes. And 3-4 catches averaging 12 to 15 yards each catch gives the guy a projection of maybe around 60-ish yards on, let's say, 4 catches. And who knows, maybe he's lucky enough to get into the end zone. But 4 catches, 60 yards is about 8 points in a half PPR league. It's 10 points in full PPR. And a touchdown makes him, essentially like a wide receiver 3, low-end wide receiver 2 for you this week. All right, now I'm really digging in the crates for this next one. This is a deep, deep, deep sleeper. Depending on the size of your league, this guy, well, he's probably available, but depending on the size of your league, it's up to you whether or not you want to follow this advice. But the guy who I'm kind of high on this week that I think could make a splash, it's wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, Kevontae Turpin. Kevontae Turpin, I think, could be a surprise in fantasy football this week because the Cincinnati Bengals pass defense has been struggling the last few weeks. The Cincinnati Bengals pass defense is averaging over 250 passing yards per game, and they have given up multiple touchdowns to wide receivers in the last few weeks. Now, Turpin is not a primary target. That would be CeeDee Lamb. And with the return of Brandon Cooks, that's another guy who's going to go ahead and eat targets. Turpin seems to be a favorite of Cooper Rush the last few weeks because Turpin typically plays in the slot. Now, we know slot receivers are the best friend of a quarterback after the tight end and after the wide receiver one, right? The wide receiver one is usually the hot target. That's who the play is schemed up for. The tight end is the first line of, the first guy you can trust outside of that, maybe hot route, because they play so close to the line of scrimmage. Kevontae Turpin is an explosive, full of energy slot receiver who can catch the ball and he can go. I think that this week, the Bengals and Cowboys, and they play Monday night, so if you're playing Kevontae Turpin, you got to have some real faith in them. But I think this week, this could be a game where the Bengals are going to put up points and the Cowboys are going to have to play catch up. Regardless of who wins the game, though I do got the Bengals winning, I think this is a game in which they're going to have to throw the ball and put up points. Kevontae Turpin has a really high yards per route run, so YPRR, as some of you may know the acronym.
but that essentially indicates that he is efficient with his opportunities. The metric shows that he makes the most out of his targets, which is valuable. Now, Kamontae Turpin, over the last couple of weeks, he's been kind of getting fed some targets. Looking at last game, he had 5 targets, 4 catches against the New York Giants. His typical, I guess you could say, yard per catch is about 13 yards per catch. So, listen, CeeDee Lamb's going to get his opportunities. Jake Ferguson's going to get fed. Brandon Cooks might get a couple targets here and there. But Kamontae Turpin's going to be the safe slot receiver that I do believe will have a couple explosive plays happen. The Bengals have some struggles, like I mentioned earlier, with passing, with the passing defense. The Bengals, once again, they've averaged about 250 passing yards per game. That's one of the highest marks in the league. The Bengals have allowed multiple deep passes of 20-plus yards in the last few games, indicating that they do struggle to defend against those big play receivers. And Cooper Rush, listen, maybe I just have blind faith in Cooper Rush, but it seems like he has really good chemistry with Kavante. Turpin, historically, has run a high percentage of the team's passing routes, reflecting that his usage is strong in the offense. And if he continues to get those reps, gets those opportunities against the Bengals team that they might have to have somewhat of a shootout with, that they might have to throw the ball up for, Kamontae could make a couple big plays happen. He's lightning in a bottle. He can make one big play that could make the day. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Kamontae Turpin get like a 40-yard catch, maybe catches 2 other passes, goes 3 catches for, you know, 65, 70 yards. And once again, he's a special teams, you know, offensive weapon. So he might get into the end zone one way or another. He's somebody that he's a pretty deep dark horse for me, but I do think there's value there. And if you're desperate, if you need a big play, if it's Monday night, you're down a lot, you're fighting for your life to get into the playoffs, and you need 12 points, hey, fuck it. If you're out of options, why not try Kavante? He's going to be available in most leagues, and he doesn't play until Monday night. Boys, I think we got a league winner right here. The next guy who I'm going to talk about has the potential to be the starting running back for his respective team, potentially for the next few weeks. I'm talking about running back Braylon Allen for the New York Jets. Right now, it sounds like Breece Hall is out with an injury. He has been ruled out for week 14. So Braylon Allen will get the start, and he will be spelled by Isaiah Davis. Couple things about Braylon Allen that I really like about him is he's a big running back. Like, he has great size for the position. He has elusive, kind of an underrated amount of speed, and he's elusive. He's great at catching the ball, and he's really good in pass pro. He's amazing in pass protection. Breece Hall has a knee injury, so he's been downgraded to out. With the Jets not really playing for much the rest of the season, there's a possibility that Breece Hall could be shut down early, just to preserve his health and to get him on the road to recovery. And I think that Braylon Allen could potentially be a league winner. This week he gets the Miami Dolphins, who are averaging about 200 and they're averaging a lot of rushing yards per game. Right now I think the stat is they're averaging about 4.1 yards per carry. Braylon Allen right now is averaging 3.6 yards per carry. So if you want to go ahead and do the math on that, Dolphins are allowing about 4.1 yards a carry. Braylon is getting 3.6 yards per carry. If you meet in the middle, that's about 3.9 yards per carry that Allen can expect to average, right? So we're just cutting it in the middle. We're cutting it in the middle between what the Dolphins allow and what Allen normally gains. He's going to see a lot of carries this week because there is no Breece Hall. So I think he could see north of 15 carries this week. So if you want to do the math on 15 carries times, let's say, 3.8, 3.9 yards, comes out to roughly 60 rushing yards on the day. I think that he's going to be a primary goal line option, so he probably gets into the end zone. So you're talking about minimum 50 to 60 rushing yards. I think he gets a touchdown. He's probably going to get a couple of catches as well. I don't know if they'll use Isaiah Davis much for the reception part of things, but Braylon Allen, I think, minimum sees double-digit fantasy point production this week, and I think that he's going to have a pretty decent game against the Dolphins. So with him seeing an increased workload, And truth be told, his talent is out of this world, bro. Like, I think Braylon Allen might be better than Breece Hall. I'm willing to say that. And here's why I say that, too. Because Breece Hall, like, he's a good running back, and he has the ability to break plays wide open. But 90% of his passes, or I'm sorry, 90% of his rush attempts are 2 yards in a cloud of dust. He struggles to see the holes. Like, he struggles with his ball carrier vision. And in a lot of cases, he tries to do too much. He tries to cut outside too often when there's a hole in the middle. He doesn't read gaps well. That's one thing Braylon Allen, I think, does a lot better than Breece Hall, is he reads gaps well. Now, you can make the argument that Breece Hall might be a better athlete than Braylon Allen, because we see how Breece Hall breaks open those, you know, 50, 60-yard rushing touchdowns often. So you can make the case that he might be a better athlete, but I think Braylon Allen is an all-around better football player because of his ball carrier vision, because of, you know, his size at the position. He's able to catch the ball. He's amazing in pass protection. He might be better than Breece in pass protection, partially because of, you know, his size. Braylon is on the cusp, I think, of becoming a certified RB1 in fantasy. We know Breece Hall is going into the last year of his contract with the Jets. I don't know if the Jets are going to re-sign him. They have a lot of people to re-sign. Sauce Gardner, Jermaine Johnson, Garrett Wilson, and so forth. So we'll see if the running back ends up getting paid. But if he does not, Braylon Allen is going to be a RB1 in fantasy for a long time to come. I like Braylon Allen. I think that this could be the start of something special. He's available in about 45% of leagues. So technically, at least by my definition, he's right outside the cusp of what we usually talk about. But I think it's such an important topic. He's such an important player right now at such an important time that I got to go ahead and do my due diligence and make sure you guys are aware of him. If you're playing in like a 10-team league, a 12-team league, he might be on the waiver still. But he's somebody that I think y'all should definitely go ahead and get. He could be a dog rest of the season as the Jets kind of, you know, close out their year. It's been a disappointing year. This might be around the time where those young guys get more reps, get more opportunities, as the team tries to see what they have moving forward. I'm going to switch it up on this last one. I'm going to talk about a kicker because I haven't covered enough kickers this year. One kicker that I think everybody needs to pick up if he's available is the kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jake Elliott. Jake Elliott gets the Carolina Panthers this week. The Panthers are, I want to say, they're like 28th in fantasy against kickers. Kickers have a lot of success against Carolina. I think this Philadelphia Eagles offense will go into Carolina. I know that they're heavy favorites. I know everybody expects them to win the game. But typically in the NFL, when someone goes into a game as a heavy favorite, more often than not, in my opinion, it turns into a lot closer of a game than people initially expected. Maybe that's just hearsay. Maybe that's just me, you know, being, you know what I'm saying, like overly cautious. But I do think the Eagles will win, but I don't think it's going to be as smooth of a ride as people are saying. Now, Jake Elliott, I think, will get some opportunities this week. We know the Eagles are going to move the ball. They have too many weapons not to. We know that they're going to get to the end zone a few times, so he'll get his extra point kicks. But in the cases where he doesn't, he'll also go ahead and get those field goals. I think the Panthers are going to come into this game fired up. They're going to be ready for the Eagles. They know that they're underdogs. They're going to play loose. And I think that'll work to their benefit. So Jake Elliott this week, I think, is going to be a top 10 kicker. If he's available and you need some extra points, throw him in there as a Hail Mary. I think he could be solid. He's been reliable this year. He's made 78% of his field goals. He makes 97% of his extra points. He hasn't missed a field goal within 39 yards this whole season. I do believe that the Eagles will win this game, but I don't think it'll be as heavily as people are saying. And due to that, I think that Jake Elliott will see more time on the field than maybe initially expected. I could see him kicking 2 to 3 field goals this week, including some extra points and putting up double digits at the kicker position for you guys this week. And players that I'm dropping, I'm going to go ahead and just give y'all a list. So players that I'm dropping right now, they include players like Tank Dell, wide receiver for the Houston Texans. Tank Dell just hasn't been great this year. He's been disappointing. I think he's like the 45th, 46th best receiver. A lot of us took him in the 4th, 5th, 6th round hoping for more. We did not get that. At this point of the season, it is what it is. We're 14 weeks in. He's just not that great. He might have one good game the rest of the year, but you'll never be able to predict it. And going into the playoffs, I think there's just better options for you. I think there's just better players who can do more for your team right now. And so he's someone that I'm not really wasting roster space on anymore. And he could probably get off my team. Another guy that I am willing to go ahead and drop at this point in time. This might be, I guess, a given, but I'm probably dropping Jordan Mason at this point. He won't listen. He was placed on IR just today, today being Saturday. So he won't be available rest of the year. Easy enough explanation as to why you don't need him on your team. But I would get rid of Jordan Mason if he is still on your rosters. He no longer will really serve a purpose. Another guy who I'm getting rid of in my team or on my rosters. You should have got rid of Travis Etienne a while ago. But I think Tank Bigsby is probably in that same boat as well. The Jaguars offense has been downgraded with Mac Jones now at the helm. I know Trevor Lawrence hasn't been great this year, but Mac Jones isn't better. So that offense is going to struggle, maybe more than they already have. Tank Bigsby, for what it's worth, he had a couple good games, but even with Trevor Lawrence at the helm, he was RB36 on the season. That RB36 is probably going to see a drop with a downgrade at quarterback and a downgrade for the offense. So Tank Bigsby, Travis Etienne, the two running backs for the Jaguars. If it's me, they got to get off my team. And the last guy who I'm thinking that you guys might want to go ahead and consider dropping. This is a person who we had a lot of high hopes for. Didn't really come to fruition much this season. And at this point, you might as well just go ahead and let him go. I'm letting go of Raheem Mostert. He's trash. He's old. He's washed. It's done. It's done. They're going to try to go ahead and ramp up Jalen Wright going into next year. Jalen Wright will likely be the RB2. Devon Achane, this is wholeheartedly his backfield. This is his squad. This is his team. This is his room. Raheem Mostert has been kind of politely shoved out of the door. He has been struggling with fumbles this year. He hasn't really played well. He's been in the doghouse with Mike McDaniels. He's 32 years old. I don't think there's much of a future left for him. If you have him in Dynasty, I don't know what you do. No one's going to probably want him, to be honest. But in redraft leagues, he's an easy drop for me. I'm going out and I'm finding better. So, yeah, those are the guys who I think are droppable for you this week. Tank Dell, Raheem Mostert, and so forth. So if you guys like this week's episode, if you enjoyed the show, please go ahead and hit that subscribe button. You can leave comments now on Spotify. So go ahead and do that to help us get our engagement up. But outside of that, those are my thoughts on week 14. If you've made it this far and you're still fighting for something, congratulations. Trust your heart, trust your gut, and trust your strategy if you are in this position. Start your studs, right? Like if you have studs, if you have dogs, go ahead and start them, right? If you got to go out with your best players, go out with your best warriors, because it'll feel a whole lot worse if you lose because you overthought the position, you overthought a play, and you tried to do too much. So this week's episode is just for if you are in a pinch, maybe you're fighting for like that last seed in the playoffs, you're just trying to go ahead and find a way to get into the dance, and then, you know, you'll take it from there. But if you got studs, if you got strong players, if you have guys who have started every week and have given you some production, lean on them, right? Lean on them and win or lose, go out with your boys. But I wish you guys all the best of luck. My name is Ja. This is Fantasy Football with Gumbo. And until we meet again, peace.